I say this every time, but we're going to try something new. Ready? One, two, three, and...
You're listening to Do Become Family, a podcast aimed at restoring confidence in marriage and family life.
Your voice is really deep.
Am I?
Well, you like changed it from intro.
I thought you meant like
you had an intro voice.
I thought you meant just because of all the working out.
Oh, not all of a sudden it just started working. You have a few extra hairs on your chin too.
I'm offended. I have an official decree.
Oh.
For the Ortega family. Official.
What is it? But only I'm hearing it?
Yes, I'm going to trigger everybody. This is the headship talking. This is it. We're no longer allowed to love anyone that's not in our immediate family. That's it. We're not loving anyone else.
That's the decree.
That's the decree. I'm tired of loving everyone. No more caring for people and their needs.
No. But yes, we're tired.
Only our children and my mother, if she keeps paying for things. Those are the only ones that deserve love.
Thanks for paying for some of the jujitsu classes, Nana.
She doesn't listen. She doesn't love me. No. So sorry for the hiatus. Did you even notice? Did you even notice we're here?
One person texted us. Are you guys okay? You did a rewind.
Yes.
Last week.
No, we're not okay. Send help. also, Chris wanted a shout out.
Hey, Chris.
Shout out. See you on the first communion day. But there's a couple of things I want to talk about with, which it's funny. My segues are so dumb. There's a couple of things I want to talk about, which I think are worth talking about. Clearly, Renzo, you have a podcast. You think this is worth talking about. So we recently talked to Colby about chastity.
We did. I actually told people at school today that we did that.
Good. Tell them more about our business. How'd you?
That's how making friends happens.
Is it? This is why I hate it. This is why my decree is official. We care for no one.
I will always be good to a microphone.
I don't have to share my life.
I can't see people's facial expressions as I talk.
No pressure of being friends. What did you say?
Well, so they have older kids. So truthfully, I was asking them if they have boys and girls that are older. So I asked them like if they had told their boys about female puberty. Like I asked, you know, how have they shared that? Because their daughters and their sons are in puberty age. And have you told them about what's going to happen with your daughters so that they're aware? And if you have, what did you say? Because our son is 10. And so I don't know. I just don't want a little girl to like have a situation and him be like, whoa, what is happening to you? And that's he no could problem. Just not
listen. Once 12 hits, I'm going to just be honest about everything.
Right.
I've been very clear. They've been asking me questions like, when will I be able to know? When you're 12. When you're 12, daddy's taking off the kid gloves.
All right.
And we're boxing in the 12. Basement.
All right. Anyway, so they hadn't, so I didn't get
it. They hadn't?
System. Yeah, no.
Listen, homeschool parents, I'm not impressed with you. I'm so sorry. I'm not impressed at all. Because it feels I have gotten such a, and this is not just from like the current homeschooling experience or with the community that you're talking about, but like I have just from every homeschool parent that I have interacted with since we started youth ministry all the way until now, they've always either waited for their kid to get to a chastity talk at some sort of conference or have wanted me to do it. Mm-hmm. Right. Like there's always been those hopefully another mentor will come in and tell them about these things. And like, I think that they go about, like they've gone over it. Like, yeah, you're going to get hair in places. Make sure you put deodorant on and don't look at people's privates. And then like you leave it. And then like, oh, that's mostly what you need. Right. Until you get married and yeah, not impressed. I'm sorry, this sounds incredibly prideful and I apologize. Though I don't think I'm wrong. I apologize.
Are you really sorry?
let me clarify. I apologize for my tone, not for my content of what I'm saying. I apologize for how I'm going about this. I could obviously be more pastoral because I know this is hard for people and there's wounds and there's like, I don't want to scar my kids and like, I don't want to give them too many things too early. Yeah. But like this is the gist of what I want to talk about is like, I think, especially with homeschooling, like there is a sense of like, I want to shelter my kids from things out there. And I think that we assume that because we're sheltering them, things aren't getting in. Mm. And then they, I think, end up unprepared. Mm-hmm. So I know for a fact there are homeschool kids that are now young adults, but were homeschooled at some point and like things got in and the parents didn't know they
yeah.
were in.
Yeah.
And they're no like, idea. And they had no idea. So then they were just left navigating a ton of things on their own.
Yeah.
Because they assumed.
They felt like they had put the blocks in place.
Yeah, covenant eyes is on. Like, it must be easy to, you get, oh, and you get parents who are like, yeah, you put these filters on. We know technology better than our kids, even though I don't know how to install how do I print? Is this a Wi-Fi printer? I don't know how to do this, but clearly I know how to do it.
Yeah.
No, your kids are going to figure things out sooner.
Yeah.
So like, I think what I did with Colby with Chastity was very good.
I thought it was great. I used that as an example.
Off the cuff. But it's off the cuff. But
how impressed I am? I tell real people about what you say.
I don't need friends. I don't need anyone.
Because I think you say good things.
I just need my drink and my two-step, and then I'm good. Don't need anything else.
Go away.
I'm so sorry.
I get so impressed and then I remember
you turn so
how you are. That's the sunburn. It was like the first day at recess today.
Not secondhand embarrassment. It's sunburn.
A little bit of both. It's hyper red.
What was I saying? Oh, I came up with it off the cuff because I thought of what I've always like, what would I say to like the young men that we're involved with now that are young adults? Like, what would I have said to them when they were this age asking me things? Cause like I did talk to
kids before they were in youth group.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so young kids. Yeah, yeah. So when like, they're like 26 now, 25, 26. And when they were 12-ish, 11, like they were in my teams. So like I shared things about them. I shared things to them about this kind of stuff, but like 10 is a little old, younger. Mm-hmm. So I just thought of like, how would I have worded it to them without like scandalizing them? Cause like, I also can't say too many things because their parents would be like, why are you telling my kids about this stuff?
Yep.
So
because the parents are the ones who should be saying these things.
Yes. Even though I ended up
not the basketball coach.
Even though I ended up being the one later down the line. So much from experience. But so, the reason Chastity came up though is because, our oldest was asking about wearing a scapular, right? Wearing mm-hmm. a brown scapular. And so we don't want him to ever make, at least, you know, no, we are both on the same page about this. One thing our kids have realized, this is my third tangent within the story I'm telling.
We'll get to it eventually.
Welcome back to Two Become Family. I don't want our kids to make promises, particularly about their faith, that they're not ready to hold up and mm-hmm. are ready to actually commit to. Mm-hmm. So like if they can't commit to a thing, we're not going to tell them to do it.
We want them to understand it in an age-appropriate way, and we want them to be able to uphold that promise in an age-appropriate way.
Yeah. So he was asking about scapulars, so we started researching it, and we both were very clear on like, you can't just – I don't want you to just wear it because you see other people wearing it, and mm-hmm. you think it's like, oh, it's cool, and it's kind of like a talisman, like, oh, look, it's a charm. And there's all these different colors. So it becomes like a Pokemon thing. Like, got to catch them all. Like, all of them have different devotions. I want all
Which
of them.
Which is my special power? Am I a black scapular or a brown scapular?
Because, like, he was like, oh, I want to wear the black scapular. He's like, what do you have to do for that? And I talked about the seven sorrows of Our Lady. I was like, you don't even know those prayers. You don't care about that. Mm-hmm. Well, is it better prayer than this prayer? And so basically we boil it.
He had good intent and we just wanted to make sure.
He got a very little, he had a very legalistic understanding of what our prayers and devotions to Mary were like. Cause I boiled it down to like, do you think you need to earn Mary's love? Mm-hmm. And he said, yes. And I said, you're an idiot. No, I didn't say that. No, I said no. And I explained to him how Mary's love is unconditional and how her role is to bring us to Jesus and that she loves us and, you know, like a mother would and blah, blah. It's funny because I said to him,
like a mother would, blah, blah, blah.
No, but well, because I said to him, like, do you think you need to earn mommy and daddy's love? And he said, no. And so it's interesting to me that he thinks, like, I always assume that the way we see.
I was commenting on your.
No, I don't. I was ignoring your. I was ignoring your body blotting me. But my, because my larger point was that usually I assume that if a kid thinks that they have to earn their parents' love, they naturally then mm-hmm. assume they have to earn God and Mary's love. Mm-hmm. But like he knows he doesn't have to earn our love. And it still felt like he had to earn mm-hmm. Mary's love, which is mm-hmm. interesting. So yes, I didn't blah de blah. Yes, your mother's love is a great example. For some reason, it didn't translate to Mary. But then, so then going on to saying, all right, you're going to wear the brown scapular. Here are the promises you make with it. Do you think you could do that? And he said, yes. And one of them is to live out chastity according to your state of life. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, oh, what's chastity? So I, like, as you do with a 10-year-old when they ask you questions, I quoted the catechism immediately.
Of course.
And I said, chastity is an apprenticeship in self-mastery and a training in human freedom. And then I went on to-
Which sounds really cool.
Yes. Well, then I expanded that. So I said, what does it mean to be an apprentice? What examples did I use?
You used from Trollhunters.
Oh, yeah.
And like-
Blinky. Yeah. So, well, and this is another thing about watching TV shows that aren't like just Bluey. Our kids watch Bluey, yes. but our kids also watch things that are a little bit- There's narrative too, and there's actually, you know, things that they have to follow along. So one show, Trollhunters on Netflix-
which we love and watch over and over.
I think it's a very good show. And so there's a character that takes the main character under his wing, very similar to all of the hero's journeys type stories, mm-hmm. right? And so I said to him, like, Jim, who is the main character, he is an apprentice to Blinky, and Blinky teaches him everything, and he's an apprentice to him. Oh, okay, yeah, he understands that. So chastity is an apprenticeship in self-mastery. So what does that mean? Well, you want to be able to master yourself. And I explained that, like, do you want to be able to control when you're happy, when you're sad, when you can try hard, when you don't want to try that hard? Yeah. So when you're angry all the time, is it easy to love people? No. So like, it just explained mm-hmm. to him, like, there's different emotions, different things that can pull on you so that you're not really free to do the things you want to do. So a way that you can start practicing being free in other things is by practicing chastity. And chastity is an apprenticeship in self-mastery. So like, chastity is one area of your life where you have to learn to control your passions so that you're free to live out the way you want to live. Okay, that makes sense. So what do you mean? Like, what do I have to control? I was like, okay, so, and this is where you, like, then I bring it down to like a 10-year-old language. Like, do you know how your friends sometimes talk about having crushes? And then he immediately looked at me and blushed. Yeah. I was like, okay, like that. Like, that's an area of your life that you can't get so caught up in that you can't love other people well. So if you're just thinking about having crushes on girls and trying to only see them in this way, you're not going to be able to love them.
Who has a crush on who?
Yep. And getting caught up in all that drama nonsense. I didn't say that. But I said, so this is an area where you have to practice a virtue of chastity so you can see people as a full person and not just as a potential crush. And he seemed to really understand that mm-hmm. as much as like he blushed at the beginning.
Cause we had talked about it before and the topic of crushes has come up a few times because we've overheard the kids talking to one another.
Well, this is also go finish your thing. Cause I have a tangent.
Yeah. Do you?
I do.
Shocking. So we've talked about crushes before as actually taking away from your friendship and not seeing your friend as a whole person that you enjoy spending lots of time with and you joke with, and you also like the other people that come along with this friend, and you all get together in a big group and you like all spending time together. And when you focus on just being a crush, you're only thinking about what do they think about you? What do you think about them? And you kind of stop having as much fun and you stop paying attention to everybody else that's around you mm-hmm. and you separate, and the boys and girls start separating and they start whispering and talking about things, and then you miss out on having fun together. Mm-hmm. So we've talked about crushes in that sense before. So that wasn't the first time that idea had come up too. So I think that there's been a lot of like building blocks that we were able to put together and be like, this is called chastity, you know, all those things that we've talked about and like have prepared you for. And now that you're 10 and trying to make these promises, we feel like you're able to make that promise to be chaste and to practice chastity.
Right. Cause I think it's assumed, and this is, I like challenging these kinds of ideas, but I think it's assumed that by middle school, like boys and girls will naturally have awkward relationships mm-hmm. because there's always that potential of dating. Like, I don't think that has to be the case. Mm-hmm. Again, I think we've also seen, as much as like, I commented on the homeschoolers, I've also seen a lot of kids that have gone through that stage and not done that. It's like, it's not a given that you have to, you don't have to enter into this weird drama thing of like, who do you like? Do you like this person more than that one? Like, and it just, I hated that looking back, I hated that in middle school. And I don't think you have to go through that. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy that we're able to at least like start calling those things out early so that when he meets, I think it's going to be a bigger thing when he gets to 11, 12 years old, 13 years old, but he's already heard it. So he knows he knows how to navigate it now. So he's not as surprised when it starts happening.
Doesn't catch him off guard.
And this is what I mean about, it's like the tantrum I was going to say is like, this is what I mean about like, even though we're homeschooling, we can't shelter them from everything. Cause like the people that introduced this concept of crushes, I'm actually super frustrated it got entered in because like that to me seems very dumb. I think it's really dumb and irrelevant to start thinking about like, who can I date at any age? And like, without it being mitigated of like, that's not how you should be seeing your friends. Mm-hmm. And I know it's still a thing that's happening.
Yes.
So like, that's topic that super frustrating. Up. And I know if we've heard it, it's clearly been heard on the other sides and it's not been addressed. And that gets really frustrating. But like the point of homeschooling, and this has made me then reflect, like, it's not that we're trying to keep everything out. It's more of like that we're limiting the amount that comes in so that as it comes in, we can address it better. Mm-hmm. Right? So that they're better prepared. Because I think it's silly to think that we're ever going to be able to keep the whole world out.
Sure. And for us to be the first line of defense and to be preemptive so that we're the first ones that are introducing certain concepts and topics to them.
Yeah.
Or if we're not, then we're close enough and aware enough that we can start discussing.
That's the thing. Cause I don't think we'll ever be able to control what gets introduced to them, but like, at least we know his bubble enough that like, if something is introduced and even if we hear someone else talking about it, we can be like, hey, have you heard this too? Mm-hmm. Whereas like, if you were going to a regular school or even just a larger school and there's multiple new things being introduced at once, like we wouldn't be able to address them all at the same time. Like, like we've talked about it, like at his age now, I had already been seeing porn for 3 years. Like that's a huge, like that's a thing that like we would never have been able to keep up with.
To mitigate,
that, right? So at least with homeschooling, we'd be able to do that. But like I don't personally understand, and this is again my 4% politeness, I don't understand the fear. You know, you could elucidate like the fear of addressing anything like this with your kids. Mm-hmm. Like there, I know there's a fear and parents don't pretend that you're like, even, I don't care how old your kids are. I know there's a fear of like, you don't want to do it wrong.
Yeah.
And like maybe, and also there's like a willful and like, ignorance on the parents' part of like, maybe they're not there yet where they need this.
Yes.
Right. Like maybe they're still so innocent that they don't care. And I think if you're considering that, you're already behind the eight ball.
Yes.
Like you should, like, even John Paul has heard this idea of crushes. Cause like he's heard his older brother talk about it. So he's like, oh, maybe I should worry about this too. Like, no, gotta brush your teeth cause they're going to fall out. Like that's the kind of, you should be worrying about other things. Yeah. But like, I think there's this willful ignorance of like, I don't want to address it yet. So, and I don't get it because I'd rather just peel the Band-Aid off.
I think there's also a fear of like, if I introduce something that they hadn't been exposed to, then they might get curious about it and they might start looking into it and like things like that. But I think
– interesting.
I think one big thing though is this idea that I think there's a fear of doing it wrong and saying it wrong. But I think that part of it is this not understanding where to place like the parent relationship because we've had it modeled poorly for us that like, well, I'm not their friend, but and do they want to hear this from me? Or like, what format should I do this in? And like in a lecture, or should I get a book that talks about this? Like, and they like, there's so much like, how do I go about doing this? And I think that the biggest problem in that is that this starts so young. Like this should be like a trickle.
This should have started like at 3.
Yeah. Of like how you talk to one another about things that are confusing
today,
or new things like that. You are a person who is trustworthy to your children, that you will tell them the truth and that you will like, you will give them the information that they need. When they need more information, you'll give it to them. You might not need all of it right now. I love you. This is not something that should be embarrassing. You know, like there's so many things that like,
don't say that.
You don't say that, but like, it's the way that you have these like conversations from a young age that sets the stage.
That sets the stage so it's not embarrassing.
So it doesn't feel embarrassing.
Well,
later.
Like one thing I think I take for granted is using the anatomically correct names for the body parts. No, biologically correct names for the
anatomy.
Yeah, or whatever.
Yes.
We call a penis a penis. And like using
now this words. Is an expletive.
Because I used a bio. No, that's a correct word.
Just kidding. YouTube took army guns off YouTube. Oh, so gosh. I don't know.
So that's why I said like it should start at 3, because like Ben, for example, he knows the names of his body parts. And today, I didn't tell you this yet. Oh, so he's going to the bathroom. No, he's potty training, and today he was sick, so he didn't care.
Yep.
So he just peed in his pull-up.
So, one does when you have a high fever.
I'm not allowed. No, it's another decree. But I had him change it.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're not supposed to do that. Can you change, please? So he changed. And then he's like, Daddy, my penis big. Okay. And he just looked at me. He's like, it's so big. And I was like, okay, put your pull-up on. And then he wants to show me. I'm like, Ben, it's for peeing. You need to put your pull-up on. Mm-hmm. Because the thing is, I didn't want to shame him.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to shame your kid. You also don't want to, like, make it a joke. You want to keep it at, like, this, what you're doing deserves a level of respect.
Yes.
But, like, Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Put your pull-up on.
Well, and it's funny because, like, we do anatomically correct, but you, and I guess I just assumed because we were using those words that also, like, there have been times where the boys have told me that their penis is big. I'm like, yes, you have an erection. When you touch your penis, it gets big. And like,
I haven't had that conversation.
So anyways, but like they even know what that word is. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, when we start really talking about puberty and this happens, even if you're not touching your penis, then like they have that word already. So they know what that is.
Right? Like, you know, what's interesting too. I wonder if a lot of it the hesitation of talking about it comes from the fact that, one, I doubt any dads are willing to do it because we didn't learn anything like that. We just started yelling boner. And like, that's how we learned.
Yes.
So like, can't do that. So I don't know. Like, it's either all or nothing. And I just started yelling that at 8 years old in the classroom.
Oh my goodness. Your poor teacher.
Yes. No, they never heard us when we yelled it. We started whispering it to see who could yell it loudest. No, this is stupid things we used to do. But then, so there's that. And then I also think, so like, I also remember there's a lot of like misinformation about male anatomy that a lot of like, I'm sure moms learned in middle school and high school. I'm like, that's not how that works. Do you know what I mean? So like, it's just weird to even talk about it. Mm-hmm. But like with your kids, like if you want to be if you want to guide the narrative coming out, like you have to be the one addressing it first.
You have to be part of it.
Because like now, like they could, because like I'm thinking back of like if my 10-year-old self interacted with our 10-year-old, like I would say things that I don't think would scandalize him as much because he'd be like, what are you talking about?
Right?
I would just sound dumb to that 10-year-old who's like heard more things from his parents than I ever heard from my parents. At 35, he's heard more from us than I have heard from my parents.
But I also think, too, that like a lot of parents think that if their child hears something they haven't heard before, they'll ask them about it.
How dare they? What? I'd rather them ask me.
But if you haven't set that foundation, they're not going to ask you.
Okay.
If you haven't had that open dialogue about certain things, right? Like I was thinking about like Colby needs to know the word period. Like he hasn't learned that yet. And like,
does he?
What?
Why? What is it?
Why does he need to know that?
Is it menses a better phrase? Okay,
so maybe that, but like a word for that, because his classmates and like the girls in his class are going to start having their period soon.
At 10?
10, 11, 12. Yeah.
Okay.
So
I feel like it's a super easy thing to explain, though. I don't know.
You're missing my point.
Yes. Yes. Try again.
But I hope that if he hears a word he hasn't heard before, he would ask us. But I think a lot of parents assume that their kids would come and ask them, but they're not. They're going to ask their friends and be like, what's that? And then accept the explanation that they get from their classmate.
Cool. Do you know how you would explain it?
A period?
Yeah.
Yes.
How would you explain it?
I would explain what biologically happens to the woman's body, like the organs that are inside that they don't see.
Cool.
Are you starting to think about what you need to say?
I feel like I would relate it to pooping.
Okay.
Right?
Tell me. Let's practice. Okay. No. I'm Colby, your daddy.
But I would just say, like, similar to how when your body, like, when your body is done using, like, what you eat, it uses mm-hmm. it for energy. Whatever it doesn't use, it gets mm-hmm. rid of, mm-hmm. right? Because it's not going to stay yeah. in the body. So, in yeah. a similar way.
That makes sense.
You're welcome.
I
hope you use that. Take notes.
I will.
Off the cuff. Drink in my two-step. That's all I need. No, but, like, I would just say, like,
yeah, it,
like your body no longer needs this because it's not ready to have a baby yet,
mm-hmm.
and this is the way it comes out. And the reason it's blood is because it's from inside your body, as opposed to like
the food. It's not wasted.
Food and urine comes from a different yeah. part.
It's a wasted.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So like then it's not scary, and then I feel like, oh, okay, this is what happened, because like your body is naturally does that yeah. with so many other things.
Well, and I think we can do that because we've talked about like what poo and pee.
Poop, peep, poop.
And just like, and like what sweat is, and what, like, I feel like we've talked a lot about how the body works with our kids,
oh,
and why
gosh, what sweat is and why he needs sodium, potassium, and what's the other one?
Poor kid knows too much.
No,
but like what electrolytes are, and
you can't just drink water.
Yep. Okay. Anywho, so
maybe I do add salt to their Gatorade. Sorry. Okay. I'll stop.
Point being that like you have to start having some sort of context for them so that you can keep building as they get older and need to hear more information.
Sure. That's interesting. And I think regardless of where your kids are, so like even if your kids are older, I still think there's a way of starting that conversation now. So like, sign, you didn't start at three, but, and this is something that happened with the youth group actually. So one, and this is like, this is actually the sad part. I think a lot of parents feel like, besides the willful ignorance that I talked about before, but I think there's also the, like, if I didn't start, I didn't start early. So like now they're 14, 15, 16 years old and I never had the conversation with them. And like now they don't want to talk to mom or dad about anything. And I don't think that is true.
Mm-hmm.
And this is from, take for what it's worth. I don't think we're great youth ministers. We've just, for some reason, we just jump around a lot. So they never realizes that we fail. From all the experience of talking to the teens, I've never had teens say that they don't want to speak to their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Like they've always indicated in some way, like, oh, I just wish my parents got me. I just wish like they would listen. I wish I could go to them. And like, they've always used us as like pseudo parents, we've always tried to be like, no, we're not your parents.
Yep.
We're youth ministers and like, we're here for you, but like, we want to always have you have your parents.
And like almost every conversation gets wrapped up of,
You
should talk to your parents about this.
Yep. And if it's like, so I had a phone call, part of like the loving people thing. I had a phone call with a teen and they had a very hard time on the phone and I could not de-escalate them. Like it wasn't dangerous, but like I couldn't de-escalate them. So I said, you know what? I'm going to call your parent. And then I called the parent and I said, hey, so-and-so is having a hard time. Are you in the house with them? Yes. Okay. Can you go to their room because they need you? And what was interesting is that like up to that point, the teen never wanted to talk to the parents about the issues they were having.
Mm-hmm.
And then they finally did. And the parent was super grateful. The teen was super grateful. And like the parent was able to see a part of the kid that the kid has always wanted them to see.
Yes.
But they were always too afraid to like get in there because like you feel like we buy into this weird narrative that like once they get to 13 years old, like, oh, they're going to be so hard. They're going to be hormonal. They're going to be temperamental. Yeah. And like we have to give them space and like they're going to want to be with their friends. And like I call BS on all of that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to continue to call BS on that. And you can tell me I'm ignorant and just wait till you have a teenager. And that's what I was told when I was dating Monica. Oh, just wait till you guys get older. You're not going to be able to love each other forever. And I'm winning that battle. So. So I think that if you have a teen, like fine, you can't start with having a sex talk right away.
Sure.
But like you could start with little conversations every day about a specific thing and just build off of that. Like there's so like if a parent asked us like, how do I build a relationship with my teen? Like you have to communicate with them.
Yeah.
You have to parent, get off your phone.
Yes.
And you have to start trying to talk to them every day. And you have the power to take their phone away too. I don't know why parents think they don't.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
That's a different tangent.
It's like, do you remember when you were in school and your teacher had like a bean jar or a marble jar or something on their desk that like when the class was good or something happened, you like put marbles in the jar and then you try to build it up. And when you get to the top, you guys had like an ice cream party or extra minutes at recess.
I just remember I was always put in the dumb classes because English was my second language and I'm offended.
Okay. That's not what I'm saying. Everything I say, you say something irrelevant.
You asked me if I remembered.
I was asking the audience.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did you not understand marble, the word marble? Did you not understand the imagery that was happening in front of you because you spoke Spanish at home? I don't like ice cream. I speak Spanish. I'm so sorry. No, that's because you're lactose intolerant. Not cause...
No, it's because they don't make the same kind of milk.
Oh my gosh, go away.
It was a good point. Keep going.
Okay. So you as a parent are filling a marble jar, like little by little. You're not going to get to like this victory at the end, but like little by little. And then you're going to build confidence and you guys are going to get excited and you're going to get closer to the full jar of marbles because you have these smaller little victories of good conversations. And yes. So start that progress.
Yeah, because you're not going
to... I feel like I would have been much more articulate.
You were doing great. You were doing great.
I hope you understood what I meant. My yes. bilingual listeners, I'm sorry.
No, and like what constitutes a marble? And this is like, that's like the imagery Brene Brown talks about with relationships, right? In building trust and vulnerability with one another. Like you have a jar and every time you add to the relationship so you can have trust in each other, like it's, you get a marble in the jar or you get a bean or whatever she talked about. And sometimes they may not be talking about a thing, but it could be like listening when mm-hmm. they're upset or like forgiving them quickly, even though they don't deserve it. And just like little yep. things like that. So they can start trusting you more and more with their things because a teen isn't going to come in and just share the big stuff right away, unless you're at a Studentville conference. And that's a different episode. But like they'll share little bits and see how you do with it. And yes. I remember like that's what the kids yes. would do.
It's they want to see how you react. Are you a trustworthy person?
That's what kids would do when I worked in the group homes. Yes. Like they
so it's so primal.
It's ridiculous. I see it in so many levels. But like so I used to work in group homes with kids that were taken out of their homes by DCF because of some kind of abusive neglect by their parents or foster families. So I was in group homes with them and people used to be really afraid of the kids. And I never was afraid of them because I didn't think they could hurt me. Because they were like, strong. Oh, if they start attacking you. I was smaller than all of them. They're like, if they hit you, you got to be careful. It's such a weird, like what? It's a weird dynamic to go in. Like the kid is 11. Mm-hmm. Like, why am I going to be afraid of him? Granted, he was bigger than me. But like one of the things is that they would always test you with things. So like they would come yes. in and it would be like kind of prison-y where you would come in and they would be like, oh, Mr. Ortega or Mr. Renzo, like I have this in my bed. And like, they're not supposed to have it. Like it's a comic book. Like I have a comic book in my bed. Like, okay. And like, they want to see what kind of, like, would you immediately tell on them? Like, would you want to go mm-hmm. confiscate it? Would you yell at them? And like the way you handled it always, if I handled it well, then they would later like actually share something about mm-hmm. like whatever they're struggling with. And it would take time, but like, mm-hmm. depending on how I address the – so, like, they were not supposed to have the comic book. So it would be something like, oh, really, show it to me. And they'd be like, well, do I bring it out and get in trouble? Or, like – so, like, I'd put it kind of on them. And, like – or, like, I'd joke about it. I'd be like, oh, what is it? Oh, it's this. Like, oh, I don't like that superhero anyway, so I don't care. And, like, if you didn't get a rise out of you, they'd be like, oh, this guy's different. And I think our kids will do that too. Mm-hmm. Like, as they start getting – like, I'm sure when they start getting older and having more of their own inner life at 13, 14, like, they'll start to, like, I want to include my parents in this. I'm going to include them in this little bit. Will they freak out? Will they yeah. think this is crazy? Will they think this is dumb? Will they stop loving me? And if we handle that well, they'll continue to give us more and more.
Yep.
So I think regardless of where you started with your teens, like, I think you could see that as a way to start with building
yeah.
the beans and the
yeah.
jars.
Yeah, I agree. Did you want to make another point about like phones and media? I felt like you had off screen opinions about that.
I have so many opinions on it. Actually, so our oldest today, they were talking to me on the way back from jujitsu, and then I guess the topic of sleepovers came up at their school at their co-op today.
Interesting. Okay.
So I was like, oh, cool. What'd you say? And then they're like, oh, so and so asked so and so if they could sleep over. And then they responded they can't until they're older. They're not allowed to sleep over anybody's house unless it's family. And then he's like, and I was like, oh yeah, what'd you say? And he's like, oh, well, I said I can't until I'm 16. I was like, you can't until you're 18. And he's like, what do you mean? You said I can do whatever I want when you're 16. I said, you can do whatever you want when you can tap me out. And they're like, oh, that'll be next year. I guess I always divert to humor when
yes.
like I'll make a point and then I'll kind of move on from there so it doesn't feel weird or awkward. But like they know they're not going to do sleepovers mm-hmm. with anyone ever. So that's another rule of ours. Cause like, again, I don't care how Catholic a family is. And like, this is not like out of not trusting, but it's out of prudence of not putting our kids and other people's kids and other people's family members in situations where they may not have previously prepared themselves for.
Yeah.
And then they find themselves in a situation and then they make the wrong choice.
Do. Yeah.
Right. Like we can't prepare our kids or ourselves for everything. So like, as much as I can train martial arts all I want, like I'm still not going to go down a dark alley if I don't have to.
Yeah.
Right. And a big part of learning martial arts is to know what situations you can handle, which ones you can't.
Yeah.
And you don't put yourself in situations you can't handle. So like, I would say that that's the same logic that we use for not having our kids go to sleepovers.
Yeah. Yep. And having like devices.
Devices that there's a big biological component of like it destroys your brain.
Yeah, that too. But also like that they don't have the ability to handle certain situations that could come up or they don't know.
Sure.
They don't know how to filter things.
Yeah. Well, at this age, a lot of the devices for me, at least, is that it's been shown to do terrible things for the brain and impulse control and all that. I think as it gets to be teenagers, like I don't think there's any reason why you should be communicating over your phone with people as a high schooler, right? Because you should be able to when you're not with people. So like I've seen memes about this too. Granted, yes, this is how I learned about the world. I've seen memes about it. I was like, never in any other time in the industrialized world have people been able to access us immediately. Mm-hmm. Whereas like now, like I know you get annoyed when I don't text people back, but sometimes like I don't text back because I'm like, I don't want to be doing this right now. Mm-hmm. And like, you don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I could,
you shouldn't doing have other things. Like,
you shouldn't have just
right
access
now.
To me just because you can text me. And I think teens having that with one another is very dangerous because then like they can never turn off any drama or anything that's coming up. They can mm-hmm. never turn it off. Like they're always stuck in it.
Yes.
Regardless, even if they're home at sports, whatever, like yes. they're always there.
Remember that one situation that happened recently with a youth group teen? They were sharing with us that there was some like bullying and drama and mm-hmm. like rumors flying and stuff like that. And they were talking about how, yeah, we had a really long talk, like mm-hmm. several hours. We talked it out and we're like, oh, good. Like, where were you guys when you're talking? Snapchat.
Yeah.
That wasn't
yeah.
hours of talking. That was deeper engagement in but the that dysfunction. Was,
yeah, right. Or like there's another teen that talked to us about like how like they felt like they couldn't get away from the bullying
yeah.
and things that were happening. And I was so confused. I was like, what do you mean you can't get away? Like they follow you? Like, no, it's just on Snapchat. And like they're on all, and this is when the Instagram was bigger, but like they're on Instagram. I'm like, okay, just don't go on the apps. Like I cannot go on the apps.
Yes, you can. What? Yeah. Because at first we were like, do we need to get the guidance counselors involved? Yes. Like why is Officer Chapman not on this?
Yes, like, yes. And it was just like, no, I just want to go on the app still.
Yeah.
And then I was like, do your parents know about this? Yes. Okay.
I did
what I need to do. But like, I think besides okay. levels of addiction, like there's just levels of communication that they're not prepared to have.
Yeah.
Like they're not prepared to say things to people, to each other face to face. And if they're not willing to do those things face to face, they shouldn't be having the conversation at all. And unfortunately, because like the phones take that part away, like they're yeah. having bigger conversations about things that they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Because it's all behind the veil of a screen.
Yeah.
So like even as even homeschool families, like they know that, but I think
and then because they're still giving their kids.
Well, because I feel like you feel like you're depriving your kid, right? There's like I tell Colby, I tell all our kids when they do something weird, I'm like, stop being a homeschooler. Such a homeschooler. Yeah. And they'll look at me and laugh. They know what I mean. But like there is a level of fear of like, am I depriving my kid too much of things yeah. because that they're not able to do, you know, whatever, what other kids are doing. So like, I think there is a temptation to kind of give in, but not give in completely, but like give in like little bits. Like yes. You're not going to have a full iPhone 15,
yes.
whatever the latest is, but like, I'll let you like do this.
But they do that without having that preparation beforehand. Mm-hmm. So then their kids are in situations that they don't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they find things or they say things or they do things that they shouldn't be because you're like, okay, like that sounds like a bean where you're like, yes. oh, I'll give them access to a phone. But like you didn't prep them.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't give them boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you think that you did because you're like, no social media. But even like within texting, you can still get into an mm-hmm. iMessage, you can still get into a whole bunch of stuff and see a whole bunch of stuff.
I would argue that no parent over 30 fully understands their iPhone.
Yeah. I know I don't.
I know you don't.
I'm ridiculous.
I know. So like
Colby, help me with this.
No, but like there's things that, there's things you can do. Like when I can change your phone to red by just pressing the button. Like this, yes. I change the accessibilities. Like there's things you can do on your phone that we don't realize you can do. And like the kids can figure out and do. And then a parent could be like, oh, they'll never do that. And like, oh no, mm-hmm. they've been doing it this whole time. Mm-hmm. Like there's just, yeah. There's a lot of that. And I don't think parents, again, the willful ignorance is like, no, that'll never happen. My kid's too good. Yeah. Like, no, you're giving them crack. Like you're giving them a crack block and being like, here, play with it. Even if you feel like you know what they're doing, mm-hmm. you don't.
Yeah.
Because you're old. We are now old. Do you remember when your parents first got dial-up? I do.
Yeah.
They thought they knew everything.
Oh my goodness, Gianna reading my shirt. I'm wearing a former coaching shirt. And she's like, Mommy, was that sweatshirt made in 2013? Yes, I'm old. It feels like I just got the sweatshirt. I remember the day I got the sweatshirt. Yes. It was 11 years ago. It's fine.
Yes. And so these are things that we have to prepare for. As parents, because it's not just a cut and dry thing of like they're homeschooled, so therefore they're going to do great.
Yeah. Or they're Catholic and therefore they're gonna be like even
well, because like okay, so like I'm sure in the Baltimore Catechism it has a paragraph on chastity.
Yeah.
And like I'm sure Colby at one point will be able to regurgitate that information. But if we're not able to give him the stuff so that all our kids can integrate it into like, I know I made a joke about, not really a joke about, like, explaining menses as pooping, like, with pooping, but, like, yeah. that helps them, like, associate with something that they do know.
Yes.
So new information is now associated with that. Yes. So you build on it. So, like, then it's properly integrated into their, like, knowing, mm-hmm. as opposed to just, like, a period is when the lining sheds. Like, you could say that and, like, still not know what it means.
Yeah.
And, like, there's so many people who do that with their faith.
Yeah.
Who, like, they can regurgitate the Baltimore Catechism and still have no idea what any of that actually means. Mm-hmm. So, like, we can't assume that people like that are just going to turn out great without us putting more effort into the – like, I know parents. I know this is exhausting. I know. That's why I said earlier I want to stop loving people because this is absolutely exhausting.
Yes.
But like every little thing your kid does, like you have to guide it in some way. Yes. That's what we signed up for. No one told us. Our parents didn't tell us because they didn't do most of it. They put 90s cartoons on and just let us do whatever we wanted.
Mr. Feeney taught us so much.
Yes. Yes. Mr. Feeney. That and Toupain. Toupain? Is he?
You're making drinking my... I don't know.
You know, you keep making Toupain? It.
Nope. I do not.
You should do it. Don't you dare.
You're a hoodlum.
No, you know.
I do not. Show me.
Hold on. No. Oh, Toupain. My bad. Do you know this? Oh, but it's Cassidy that's doing this. Cassidy featuring Swiss Beats. Never mind. Do you know this song?
I don't know what you're saying.
You remember these songs. You're old like me.
Okay. Let me hear.
What was I saying before?
That our parents turned on 90s sitcoms for us to learn how to live life.
Starts with a prayer? Come on. Do you remember this? You don't remember this. This is from definitely Danbury High School.
Okay. Well, like I said, you were a hoodlum.
Whatever.
I was busy studying.
It's such a lot.
Getting good grades and getting in trouble behind my mom's back. But I didn't listen to that music.
That is all.
That is all.
Our homeschool kids are being homeschooled by a former hoodlum.
That's right. So, sorry if you don't want to have your kids be friends with our kids anymore.
Sorry.
They know too much.
I'm sorry. This is not productive at all. A conversation. I feel like I just ran into it.
It's normal. Back to our usual. Hopefully we're back on track for us.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Let us know what you think.
Leave a rate and a review. Type something in the box. Tell us well, what you like.
First, you gotta go to Instagram because that's the only place I'll do it.
Episode.